The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, feeling a lot better than when I was on Monday's show with the throat issues. Still lingering today, but not too bad. I do have the water to the side on the off chance I start to choke again, because definite possibility with all the talking that I do. But that is life. Sometimes shit like that happens. So who knows? Whatever. But let's get to the week that was the NBA. We actually did have a couple of pretty big injuries strike in the NBA, beginning with LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers. He's going to be out at least the next 3 weeks. He suffered a foot tendon sprain earlier in the week. You know, while watching the game, it looked like it was going to be a lot worse of an injury than it ended up being. Because LeBron, he was in the paint, he's driving towards the basket, he plants his foot, but you could tell immediately it didn't feel good. And so when he's laying on the ground, you could actually see him mouthing, "I heard a pop, I heard a pop, I heard a pop." And, you know, if you're dealing with an knee, a foot, or a shoulder type injury, and you hear the words, "I hear a pop," that's usually a bad thing. And I was kind of thinking it was going to be like an Achilles injury or something horrible like that. Turns out it was just a foot tendon sprain, but it is going to keep him out at least the next 3 weeks, and they will reevaluate him in 3 weeks and see where he's at. But definitely not going to be helping the Lakers' case. They are definitely on the outside looking in for the last playoff spot. So with LeBron out, I didn't really think they were going to make some type of a run anyways. But now I really don't think they're going to be making a run. So LeBron James is definitely going to be out at least the next 3 weeks. Then LaMelo Ball of the Charlotte Hornets, he is now out for the entire season, suffering an ankle injury. And sorry, I had to take a sip of water there, but so he's out, and that just really, that's just bad news. I mean, he's been suffering injuries the last couple of seasons, but I mean, he's such a talented player. And, you know, Charlotte's not that great of a team, but he was definitely making them a competitive team. So, really not a good thing for the Charlotte Hornets. Then we also had a couple of really good games this week, or good performances as well, in the NBA. Beginning on Monday night, the New York Knicks beat the Boston Celtics 109-94, and Jason Tatum was actually ejected during the game, the first time he's ever been ejected in his entire career. So, big win by the Knicks, and they actually dominated the majority of the game, and getting their best player ejected, it's always a big deal. Then on Tuesday night, Nikola Jokic, he struck again, scoring his 100th career triple-double. He dropped 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists on the Houston Rockets. Denver Nuggets got the big win, 133-112. Then on Wednesday night, Kevin Durant made his debut with the Phoenix Suns, and it was a very solid debut. He dropped 23 points, went 10-for-15 on shooting, field goals, and they also got the win against the Charlotte Hornets, 105-91. So, very solid debut from Kevin Durant. Booker also had a big night. He went for over 30 points. I believe he had something like 37 points. I didn't write it down, but it was a big game for Kevin Durant, and the Phoenix Suns starting to heat up at the right time. And then last night, so far, the Kyrie Irving experiment has not been working out for the Dallas Mavericks. He really hasn't fit in. They've only won one game so far that that he and Doncic have played together. And last night they finally did get a big win against the Philadelphia 76ers, 133-126. Doncic dropped 42 points and had 12 assists. Kyrie Irving had 40 points and 6 assists. So between the two of them, they scored 82 points. And they just really had a big game. So it's nice to finally see that working out. But so far, hasn't really been working out. That says a lot because the Western Conference is still up for grabs. And so far, the Mavericks don't look like they're a team that really even wants to win the Western Conference, let alone make any type of a playoff run. But so far, not that great. But they finally did get a good win against a good 76ers team last night. And then I did bring up on Monday's show a topic about Dan Snyder, the current owner of the Washington Redskins football team Commanders. He's in the process currently of attempting to sell the team. Who knows if it's for real or not? It looks like he's been fighting selling the team, and the other owners have. Sometimes the owners will collude together and make it so somebody will sell their team if you're just being too annoying. But with Dan Snyder, he obviously must have a lot of dirt on the rest of the owners or something of that type of nature, because they haven't been able to do that, where they usually gang up on him and then force him to sell his team. He's voluntarily chosen to put the team up for sale, but it doesn't feel like he's taking it very serious. Now, he's definitely going to get probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 billion whenever he does eventually sell the team. But it was rumored that Jeff Bezos was the front runner to buy the team, and that makes sense. I mean, he's one of the richest men in the world, so of course he's going to want a football team if it comes up. Well, it was announced earlier last week that Dan Snyder wants Jeff Bezos blocked from buying Washington's football team, and I thought that was weird because to me it's just like money's money. You should just. If somebody wants to buy your team and they're willing to pay you top dollar in the neighborhood of $6 billion, I'm with it. I'm going to take that. But in typical Dan Snyder's a little twat fashion, he actually has a personal vendetta against Jeff Bezos, in which Jeff Bezos, he owns the Washington Post, and the Washington Post has written some stories about Dan Snyder as an owner over the years. And as a lot of people have, but it's really upsetting to Dan Snyder. So he doesn't want Jeff Bezos to be able to have the opportunity to buy the Washington Commanders. So that's what his beef is, which is just hilarious to me. But I did bring this up on Monday's show, but I wasn't really able to kind of get through it because I kept fucking coughing the whole time. But I did still want to bring it up just because, you all know I'm a Cowboys fan, and so obviously I fucking hate the Washington Redskins football team Commanders. I think they're a stupid team, but I also can't stand their owner, and I love to see him squirm, and I love to see him get fucked over, and he's just a general piece of shit. So it's pretty funny to me to just kind of see how this has gone for him, and it hasn't really worked out, and then to see that he's throwing a little temper tantrum over Jeff Bezos because, oh my God, he wrote stories about me. It's like, you know what, Snyder? How about you not be such a fucking asshole and you won't have those stories written about you, right? Right. So it doesn't look like Jeff Bezos is going to be the owner of the Washington football team, or the Commanders, if you will, but I'm sure at some point he will own a football team, but doesn't look like it's going to be Washington. And you know what? Probably dodging a bullet by not taking that one, because Washington's a pretty poorly run organization. And even though they do have a rich history and they do have a pretty solid fan base, I don't know if that's the team you really want to be buying. But then again, somebody fucking owns the Jaguars, so there's that. We also have a very big UFC fight this week. It's going to be UFC 285, and John Jones is back, y'all. John Jones is one of my favorite fighters. He is a straight-up legend, and so he has not fought since February of 2020. Yeah, literally right before COVID really hit. That was the last time John Jones fought. You know, he's had his issues over the years. The reason why he hasn't fought the last since 2020 is apparently there's just been money issues between him and Dana White, the owner of the, or the president of the UFC. So that's kind of, that seems to be the issue. You know, before that it was, you know, he's failed a few drug tests for steroids and for like cocaine and street drugs. So he's had his issues. He's also had a few DUIs. So he's had a lot of issues. But you know what? Issues aside, dude is one of the greatest fighters of all time. To call John Jones a legend is not an exaggeration. And he's coming back in the ring. I mean, really, if you take a look at John Jones' entire career, probably one of the greatest overall fighters you will ever see in UFC. Just because he's great in the grappling game. He's great with ground and pound. He's going to kill you with his elbows. excuse me. But yeah, he kills you with his elbows. He's great standing up and boxing. He's great kickboxing. Like, he's a killer when it comes to kicking the shit out of somebody. He will kick the shit out of you, literally kick you to death. So John Jones is just an overall excellent fighter. Because, you know, most fighters, they usually have something that they're really good at, whether they're great at the ground and pound, or they're a great boxer, or a great kickboxer. Usually it's like you're really good at one thing, and then you kind of have the other shit thrown in there. Well, John Jones is good at everything, and watching him fight is just so much fun to do. So I am super excited to see that he's back in the ring, and I mean, really, in his entire career, he only has one technical loss, and that was actually a disqualification. So he's never really lost in the octagon. So the dude, I mean, he's coming into UFC 285 with a 26-1 record versus Ciryl Gane, who's 11-1. He's an up and comer, and he's a big ass dude. When you're comparing these two, Jones is the overall better fighter, because Gane is more of a, he's definitely going to pummel the fuck out of you. But that's pretty much all he's got. Whereas I feel like if Jones gets him on the ground, it's going to be good night. You know, Gane is an up-and-comer right now. His last fight, he got a huge win. And Jones, he also got a big win in his last couple of fights have actually gone the distance. And he's won in unanimous decisions here. But right now, Jones is favored this week. And so it's going to be a very interesting fight. Gane actually has 40 pounds on John Jones. So that, he is the much bigger dude. But you never can count out John Jones, even though he hasn't fought in 3 years now. It's going to be very interesting to see if he has to shake off some rust, what his stamina is like. Because that's another thing about John Jones, is that his stamina, he usually gets better as the fight wears on. He's actually more known to really get going in the fourth and fifth rounds and just kind of slowly, methodically move through the first three rounds. Then four and five, he turns it on. So this one, I'm Jones is favored, as I said. I'm torn on it because I wouldn't be shocked to see Gane get the win on this one, but Jones is a legend. He's had plenty of time to prepare for this fight, and with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and take John Jones in this one. I think he's going to get a submission in this one. I don't think it's going to be a knockout, but I don't think it's going to go the distance. I'm going to take a submission in four rounds. I do think Gane will give... He'll make it a good fight, but then once Jones gets him on the ground, I feel like it's going to be over for him, and Jones, I feel like, is going to walk away with the win this week. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting fight, to say the least. And with the return of John Jones, I decided this week's top five list is going to be the top five John Jones fights because he is a legend. He is, in my opinion, so much fun to watch. And I hope that this is the beginning of him continuing to fight as well because, you know, he used to fight all the time. But now, you know, he hasn't fought in 3 years and he's just had all these issues and he is only getting older. Now he's fucking 35 years old. So, you know, he only has so much time left, but this is going to be a good one for him. But he's had so many great fights throughout his career, and it was difficult to whittle it down to five. I actually have an honorable mention on here as well. So let's get it started with the top five John Jones fights, beginning with the honorable mention. This is only an honorable mention for one reason. What happened in the aftermath of the fight didn't happen, to me, this would probably be definitely a top two fight, if not number one. But it definitely is a fun fight, and I don't care what the aftermath happened, but it's UFC 214. The second time he faced Daniel Cormier in their first matchup, it did go the distance, and it did end up being a unanimous decision in which John Jones would get the win. But this time around, it was much more of a dominating matchup for John Jones. Like, he really just took it to Cormier. Now, Cormier is also a legend in his own right in UFC. So this fight took place July 29, 2017 in Anaheim, California. And what I loved most about this fight is that John Jones, he has won in many different ways. He will knock you out. He will get you to submit. He'll go the distance. He has done it all. He really actually hasn't had a fight where he's been down at any point. Other than one of these, which is actually in my top five. But we'll get there when we get there. But this one, he kicks Cormier right in the head in the third round. And you can see it stuns Cormier. He kind of backs up, and then he starts backing up into the fence. And then Jones just starts throwing a bunch of punches, and boom, 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 he gets the win. And it was just a really excellent fight to watch. I mean, Cormier is going in. He wasn't scared at all. The both of them were trading barbs, but then you could just see as it was going on, John Jones really started to get it going. And then once he kicked him right in the head, boom, all done, all over with. And John Jones would end up getting the win until he tested positive for a turnabout metabolite. So they would actually turn it into a no contest, which is the only reason why it's not in the top five. I thought it was too good of a fight to not include because it was a fun fight to watch. If you rewatch it, just an overall good fight. But since he basically tested positive for steroids, a lot of people don't like to count that fight. But in my opinion, it happened. Whether he took steroids or not, it's still there. It was still a great fight, in my opinion. And it did end up being a no contest, which is why it is an honorable mention for me, and not in the top five. But I felt like it needed to be mentioned because it was a fucking fantastic fight to watch. And between two excellent fighters, too. I mean, this was probably one of the biggest fights of John Jones' career as far as opponents go. Because, like I said, Cormier is a legend in his own right. He's actually an announcer these days. So, he had a great career. And so I thought that was a fun fight to watch. Actually, the previous fight was excellent as well. But unfortunately, with him testing positive for steroids, basically, it put a stain on that particular fight. It's also put a stain on his career because that's not the first time Jones tested positive for steroids. So, but I liked the fight. I just thought it was an overall good fight, so I had to at least bring it up. Then at number five on my top five John Jones fights, I have UFC 152. Versus Vitor Belfort on September 22nd, 2012, in Toronto, Canada. This Belfour is a big ass motherfucker. This dude is all fucking muscle, if you remember him. He was stacked. And I mean, he was taking it to John Jones at first. Real talk, in this 2012 era, I'd say the most dominating time for John Jones was in the 2011, 2012, 2013 years. He really dominated the entire sport of UFC. And so everybody who was going up against him is giving him his best fight. And so Belfour, he was one of the stacked powerhouses back in this 10 years ago time. And at first, he was making a decent fight. But as the fight wore on, it just really started to get away from him. And as I told you, John Jones is the type of fighter who, whereas the fight goes on, he usually gets better and usually gets stronger. And he usually wears you out in the first couple of rounds. And you may win a couple of rounds, but he's going to make sure that you start wearing down in the last couple of rounds so he's able to get the win in the end. And in this particular fight, he ended up getting Belfour in a key lock submission in the fourth round, and he would walk away with this win. But it's a fun one to watch just because Belfour is stacked compared to John Jones. I mean, John Jones is built himself, but Belfour is just all pure muscle, and he got his ass beat by John Jones. Then at number four on my top five John Jones fights, I have UFC 140 versus Lyoto Machida. This took place December 10th, 2011 in Toronto. And what is awesome about this one, Machida is also built like a champ. I mean, I guess most UFC fighters are built like champs, but this guy in particular, he was just Muscles McGee himself. And he really took it to Jones. I mean, he wasn't scared. He was coming in with punches, and it looked like he was gonna make this a big fight, but John Jones was like, "Nah, bitch." He would get him eventually in a guillotine choke in the second round, and he would literally put Machida to sleep. It's one of my favorite Jones fights, just the way it ends, because it's like you could actually see the guy just like, because they're standing up in the corner, and you know, Jones has him in the guillotine chokehold, and he keeps pulling and keeps pulling, and you can actually just see Machida like pass out, standing up basically. And then once Jones lets go, he falls down face first to the ground, and then he's able to get up. And that's just good old fashioned UFC right there. I mean, yes, I know it's fucked up that you get excited to watch motherfuckers actually like pass out like that, but at the same time, it's fun to watch, and I enjoy it, and I definitely enjoyed that as well. But that's one of the reasons why I put that particular fight in top five, just because it's crazy to watch him just put a dude to sleep and then bye, and then the dude wakes up like a couple minutes later and it's all over and done with. All right, then moving on to number three of my top five John Jones fights, UFC 128 versus Shogun Rua. This took place on March 19th, 2011 in Newark, New Jersey. This one, Rua is another built-ass beast who just was coming in and, you know, he was one of the top dudes at the time. And at first, you know, round one, he comes out, looks like he's going to make this a big matchup. But John Jones is dominating this one basically from the start. And then in the third round, he would ultimately get the technical knockout, where he would just basically get Rua in a bad position, and he would just start pummeling him, and then they would just stop the fight, and Jones would go on to win. But really, what was so impressive about this was just how bad Jones dominated in this fight. I mean, it wasn't even close, really. Like I said, you know, Shogun came out, looked like he was going to make it close, but, you know, Jones just really dominated from start to finish, and ultimately would knock him out in the third round. Then at number two of my top five John Jones fights, UFC 135 versus Rampage Jackson on September 24th, 2011 in Denver. And Rampage is the most perfect nickname for Quentin Rampage Jackson. It was like he would come out of his corner and it would be like he would be throwing a rampage with his fists. Like, this guy was insane. One of the scariest UFC fighters ever. And John Jones made him his bitch. This one wasn't even close. I mean, Jones just dominated him on the ground. He could barely get a punch in. Like, at first it looked like it was going to be a pretty decent fight, and Jones was like, nah. He would keep getting him on the ground, and finally, he would get him in a rear naked chokehold in the fourth round, and Rampage Jackson would ultimately lose to John Jones. But it's crazy to see him dominate both Shogun Rua and Rampage Jackson the way he did, because those were two champions, two great fighters, and Jones would make them look like his little bitch. And then at number one, which I think is the best John Jones fight you will ever watch, UFC 165 versus Alexander Gustafsson on September 21st, 2013 in Toronto. I mean, this is the only fight I've seen Jones fight in where it looked like he might lose. I mean, Gustafsson, the first four rounds is just going in. John Jones is known for the ground and pound, and he's known for the takedowns. And Gustafsson would not let him get him down. Every time he would go in to get him on the ground, he would get right out of it. John Jones never had the upper hand on the ground. He was never able to get him on the ground. And then Gustafsson would just like trade punches right back with him. He got in so many good licks on him. It looked like, you know, John Jones, he cut his eyebrow open, I believe, in the first round or the second round. I can't recall which one, but it was early on. And so, and that's very rare, but that was the most beat up that John Jones looked in this fight against Gustafsson. And, I mean, it's honestly questionable who won this one. I really only think Jones got the win because Gustafsson was winded by the fifth round. So, It was a huge, huge fight for Jones. The reason why I put it at number one is just because it was a struggle for Jones, and it was actually questionable on whether or not he was going to get the win, which he did, but Gustafsson really, really put up a great fight. And so that's my top five John Jones fights. We'll see what he's able to do this weekend against Ciryl Gane. Like I said, I've got him winning this one, but I expect Gane to give him a run for his money and make this a decent fight. So we'll see how it goes for Jones. And like I said, hopefully this is the beginning of him doing a few more fights. And because he's getting up there in the age, but he's a spectacular fighter and he's fun to watch. And we'll see what he's got going for him this weekend. So I will talk to you fools on Monday.